Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Happy Easter. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I promise we're not going to talk about grilling Haas and Pfeffer today, but we are going to celebrate the Easter weekend with you. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, and thanks for joining us. It is the biggest Christian holiday of the year, and when we all celebrate, the greatest sacrifice that was ever made for mankind. And we're going to help you celebrate it with just a couple ideas to feed the folks that come over to your place,
right?
And maybe give you some ideas.
Speaking of feeding the folks, I'm remiss that I didn't mention that we are live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And if I don't mention that, we don't eat, so that's good. But
We are live from Standard Kitchens and Lumber Showroom, and I'm still going to work on getting that to roll off my tip of my
tongue. Because we're
not
at the showroom, we're at the studio. So,
I did put showroom.
But anyway, I'm good with it. I know where I am, and I hope you do too.
That's why you were harassing me last week. See, we do these show plans, and I make up a template with our show on it, right? Mm-hmm. So I can pull the same template out every week and fill in the blanks.
That's why we talk about the same thing every week, right?
And on the opening of each segment, I wrote, live from Standard Kitchen Showroom. I pulled it off your website.
Well, we'd love to have you stop by, because that's where we all make it happen. But anyway, we are in the studio today.
And then pretty soon we're going to be talking about rebuilding your decks, and then we're going to really need to hone in on those showrooms, because we're going to need your help there desperately.
Right. I got those experts.
There's a lot of bad decks out there, brother.
Right. Yeah. I got experts coming out my expert. So
I'll jump ahead on my show plan, and I'll talk about decks.
Okay.
I have issues with that big deck in the back. And, I have a kitchen on one end, and I've been threatening to rebuild it and yada, yada. And I should have put a roof over it. I should have put a roof over it when I rebuilt my house.
Right.
Because that would have been the easy way. But you know how budgets go and everything. And gosh, so I was looking at it last weekend. I was home alone. The wife was off on a junket. Imagine that.
At least you were looking at your deck.
And I walked out and looked at the whole thing and just tried to think, what's going to look good?
Right.
And here I've got this 44-foot deck. In the middle of it, underneath, there's some sliders coming out of the lower level.
Right.
Which is gutted right now thanks to a broken pipe.
Right.
Well, I'm thinking, I've already got concrete there and part of a roof over it. How about if I build a roof under that and just put all my grilling stuff right there? The only downfall is I got to go down the steps to get to the grill. But guess what? In the winter, I got to fight snow and all kinds of other stuff on that other location. And in the summer, it's hot as bejeepers back there because the sun just bakes that south end of my house.
I thought you had like a little awning over top of that.
No, I don't. I've just got the deck. But I figured out a cool way to make some wedge mounts and just screw a corrugated steel roof underneath it like my buddy did on his. It turned out really cool. And then over time, maybe I can screen it and have a screened area so I can grill without mosquitoes.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I know your backyard, and I think that's a B-plus plan. I don't think it's plan A, only because I don't like having to walk down with all my food and all my accompaniments that go with it and all my tools. Your tools will be down there.
I'll have it all set.
You either got to go downstairs through the inside of the house
exactly
and go out the door.
Exactly.
And then when you're done, though, you got to bring all your food back up. That'd be the only thing that I don't like about it.
I understand that.
Right?
And that's the bullet I'm taking on it.
Right.
Is that I will have to walk up and downstairs.
Right.
But on the other hand, it'll be far enough away that, especially if a bud's over and we're going to go do some grilling, we can go down there, hang out in the shade, do the grilling.
Get away from everybody.
That's right.
Okay, I'm with you.
There's something kind of sinister here. I mean, perfect here. But I wanted to mention, I did a recipe on a pork loin that I was all excited about. I photographed it. I put it on our website. I didn't put it on our website. I put it on Facebook. And I told you I'd post it on the website, but when I got done with it, I was not happy. And here's the thing. It was a pork loin that I semi-butterflied, and I put some Swiss and spinach in it, and then I did a beautiful cranberry topping that I got at Old World Olive Company, blood orange, cranberry, raspberry. That was the best part of the deal. Here's the problem. When you stuff a pork loin, you have to cook it for quite a long time to get that center done. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you overcook the outside of a pork loin?
Well, you might as well chew on the tongue of your shoe.
Yeah. So I'm going to vary that, and I'm going to try another version. I've got another loin standing by, and I'm going to totally butterfly it in a pinwheel fashion.
Well, butterflying it, let's stop there just a second. You're going to flatten that thing out. It's like the size of a softball.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it in.
You're going to cut a spiral around it until it gets flat and what, maybe like an inch thick?
Maybe.
A little thinner?
I'm going to do it nice and thin, very big and long, and then I'm going to do my pork chop trick with the oil and jacquard, and I'm going to pulverize it, and then I'm going to do my stuffing and try it that way, because when you do pork chops that way, they turn out tender and juicy. So I'm going to make another run at it, and I think I'm probably going to do it all indirect. I also did this one kind of over coals to give it a nice searing, and so the bottom of it got too tough. Anyway, the reason it's not
dude,
on the website.
This is screaming for a rotisserie.
It could be.
To turn it around. Now, are you putting any cheesy or anything that's going to ooze out of there?
Yep,
in
Swiss.
It? Swiss. So I don't know if you want to dink around with it, but put a bacon wrap on it, and it'll kind of seal it up. And then even if you got the bacon too done, throw it away.
I'm getting hungry.
But the inside might be protected if you throw a bacon wrap on it.
Now I'm starving, Marvin.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm
doing the Bob now.
Speaking
I'm
of bacon
a recipe
wrap.
And dinking around with it.
Okay, I'll do a job. Speaking of bacon wrap, I had a physical this week. I seriously did. I went and saw my doctor, and because I'm 61, right? I haven't been there since I was 56. Every 5 years. And I've got the most
Bob,
frank.
That's a glove. Just trust me.
Oh, that's the worst part. But I'm okay. Right. But he I've
before
got,
or after are you
I've,
okay?
I've got Dr. Evenhaus is my doctor, Mark Evenhaus, and he's kind of dry, very frank. But he's my
Evenhaus is that a big handed Dutch guy?
Yes,
or?
He is very big,
okay.
Very big.
Yeah.
He went to medical school.
For that, don't you?
He went to medical school with our friend Stacy, and she said she hated having him in class because he made all their test scores look horrible.
Ah,
but. Shout out to Mark Evenhaus at Spectrum. He did a good job, and he was gentle on me.
Okay.
And I have no issues.
Right.
Other good. Than he said, you could lose a little bit of that belly.
Right.
I was like, aw, I'm working on it.
So he's not perfect.
He said, that's what you said last time.
Right. Well, it was 5 years ago, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, that was in his notes.
I did get to see Robin Trower after the show last weekend. It was fantastic. We had all met up at the Bob, and we went to Bomberitos for burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Oh, really?
It was a hockey puck.
Ooh.
Waited 40 minutes for a burnt hockey puck.
Wow.
Was not happy with the Bob in that situation.
Right, but the concert was good?
Concert was great. And great. 21 Monroe, whatever, live.
Monroe, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, live, yep.
22 Jump Street, it was great.
Yeah, it's a cool venue. Well, the puppy arrived this week. Yep, little Lucy is... has found her home and already crawled into the hearts of Michelle and I, and she's going to be a good one, smart, and we've got potty training 90% done in the first 5 days.
Wow!
So I think she had a little jump start. There was before she got here, but
somebody
really
spent
cool.
some time with her.
Yeah. But so, really cool, whining to go out.
So now you can start training her to hunt with
right,
you.
Right, sleeping in a crate. Without the howling, man, amazing. First dog I've ever had where you try to crate train them and they don't go through a week of howling. I think she's had that already too. But anyway, we can talk about that at another time. But anyway,
yeah,
coming up
awesome.
Next, we're going to talk about maybe the perfect Easter ham. Stick with us. We'll be back.